I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. This morning on the program, I want to talk about the value of the soul. The value of the soul that is inside each and every one of us. And I hope that our study this morning will encourage us to understand the value of our soul and place the right priority on taking care of it, what's on the inside of us, more so than what is on the outside of us. So I so appreciate you being with us for our Bible study. And I want to talk about the value of the soul. I want to talk about the tragedy of losing our soul. And I want to talk about how to recognize the value of our soul. You know, recognizing value in something is very important. When we recognize the value of something, we will take care of it. We will make sure that it is a priority in our life. If we value our body, we will put a priority on eating properly, making sure we take care of our body and our health. If we value education, we will make sure that we go to school and that we study, and if we're going on to college, that we save for that. And we plan ahead for that. We value education. We value good health. Do we value our marriage and our family? We'll do whatever it takes to have a proper relationship with those things. If we value our house or our car, we maintain it. We take care of it. So we understand the idea of values. What is important? What is meaningful in our life. More than anything else, I would hope that we would value the soul that God has given each and every one of us. I want to begin with a couple of passages in the book of Matthew. If you'll turn with me there, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10, and then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16, some statements of Jesus to his disciples, teaching the value of the soul. You may recall that back in Genesis, when God on the sixth day made Adam and Eve, in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 2:7. So, being made in the likeness of God means that we have an inner spiritual side to us that the Bible would later call the spirit or the soul. It's the invisible part of us that causes us to be alive. It's our thinking, our feeling, our mind, our rationale, our emotions, our will. And often in the Bible, spirit focuses on our mind, our thinking, what I just mentioned there, emotions, will, response, and soul is the other word that is used, meaning our life. We are living. It's what animates the physical body. So our spirit and soul, speaking of the same inner being, but from two different perspectives, our mind and our life, or our living. We're animated. We're not inanimate. We're not a rock, for example. We are alive. And so, at the very beginning, on the sixth day of creation, God made Adam and Eve and breathed into them the breath of life. Adam first, and then taking Adam's rib to make Eve, and they were made in the image of God. They had an inner spiritual being to them that the plant and animal kingdom does not have. Well, starting all the way back at the beginning of time then, we know that we are different. And so come with me to Matthew chapter 10 and then Matthew 16 to learn from Jesus the value of the soul. And I hope that we will have that same value in our life today. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 28, Jesus is sending the apostles out to preach the gospel. And in Matthew 10:28, Matthew records Jesus' words, "And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Notice, first of all, that we have a body and a soul. We have an outward physical body. We have an inward spiritual soul. Verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So he's sending them out, and sometimes as they go out, they're going to be threatened, physical threatened. We know later that some of them died for the cause of Christ. But Jesus said, don't fear that. Don't worry about that. And then he says how valuable they are. They are more valuable than the sparrows. God takes care of the sparrows. He knows what goes on in their life, and even more so in our life. The very hairs of our head are numbered, meaning God has such intimate knowledge of us, it implies also a great care for us. And so Jesus says, you are of more value than the sparrows. He'd been talking about their soul, and he says, you're more valuable than these birds. And we need to remember that to this day, that we need to put a value and a premium on our inward soul and make sure that it is right with God. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 on another occasion. Jesus again speaking to his disciples. We find in Matthew 16 and verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what profit shall a man, be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In verse 25 and 26, Jesus uses the same word, psuche, for soul. It's translated life in verse 25 and soul in verse 26. And Jesus is teaching here again the lesson of value. Back in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "You are more valuable than the sparrows." Here he is saying that you have a choice between having things in the world and taking care of your soul. And what is more profitable? Is it profitable? Is it more profitable to gain the whole world or lose our soul? A couple of words need defining here. First of all, the word world. Jesus said, if a man gain the whole world, this is everything that we can see and smell and taste and touch and hear. Anything that we can acquire with our five senses, the world around us. And what does it profit if we can gain everything? Everything physical, everything that we can approach with our five senses. What does it matter? Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul, lose your soul. That's a great question. And so many people today, they place more value on the world, the physical things of this world, money and popularity and power and other kinds of things, material possessions, car, phone, house, clothes, food. There is more value and profit to those things than them making sure that their soul is taken care of through an obedience to God's word, prayer, Bible reading, assembling with other faithful Christians to worship God on Sunday. Those things are not important. What's important is the things of this world. And Jesus is trying to teach a lesson in value and priorities. First of all, he says in verse 24 that you need to deny yourself. And number two, you need to take up your cross and follow me. Be willing to deny things that are wrong, set them aside. Take up your cross, be willing to sacrifice and serve me. And then number three, you've got to be willing to value your soul more than the things of this world. And then he goes on to say in verse 27 that that is important because Jesus is going to come again and render to every man according to his works. And so in Matthew 10 and Matthew 16, Jesus teaches the value of the soul, and we need to understand that same value today. Unfortunately, you've got many, many people who are going to lose their soul, and what a tragedy that is. We possess an eternal soul. We have an immortal, eternal soul in our nature. That's what makes us different from the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. We have a physical body. Jesus said that in Matthew 10, the body and the soul. We have a body, but we also have a soul. And when man dies, the spirit separates from the body. James 2:26, as the spirit apart from the body is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. Our spirit will leave the body upon death, and it will return to God. The spirit, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the spirit will return to God who gave it. Notice that. God who gave it. We each have a soul, and God gives that to us upon conception. And he's going to require that in the judgment day. Anything that God gives us, we're to be good stewards of anything. Not just physical things, but the soul. God is the father of our spirit, Hebrews 12:9. He puts the soul in us, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. And so when we die, our spirit leaves our body. It goes to a realm of departed spirits called Hades. And in Luke 16, we learn that there are two places in Hades, either paradise or torment, whether we have been righteous or unrighteous. And we await there the judgment day. But we await a meeting with God. It returns to God who gave it. And so we need to abandon any kind of atheism or humanism or naturalistic evolution that says that we are just purely material. We need to abandon any false philosophy like that and understand that we have a body and a soul, and understand that that is within us, and take care of it and value it and put a priority on it. Do you know that your soul is the most priceless possession you own? It's not diamonds and rubies and gold and silver and cash and houses and cars and money. The most priceless possession is your soul. It's worth more than all material things combined. That's what Jesus' point is. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? As I said just a moment ago, it is of divine origin. God gives us our soul. And number two, the value of it is found in that it is eternal. In the judgment day, we will either spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. So number one, the soul is of divine origin, and number two, it is eternal in nature. Jesus said, some will go away into eternal punishment, but others will go away, the righteous will go away into eternal life, Matthew 25:46. So the divine origin of our soul makes it valuable. Number two, the eternal duration of our soul makes it valuable. And so, friends, we need to understand that and make sure that we're putting a priority on our soul. And Number three, it's valuable because Jesus died on the cross for our souls. Peter writes that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot. And then later he goes on to say, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1:18 through 23. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, but the way we purify our souls, sin, when sin is in our soul, in our conscience, we need to purify that. It needs to be washed away. Acts 22:16. Ananias told Paul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We have purified our souls. How? In obeying the truth. So let's obey the gospel. Let's repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. That shows that we're serious about valuing our soul. But the problem is, so many people will exchange their soul for the things of this world. Some people exchange their souls for pleasure. 2 Timothy 3:4, they love money and they love pleasure. Some people sell their soul for popularity and the approval of men. There were Jews and Pharisees, John 12:43, that believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him, lest they be cast out of the synagogue. Some people exchange their soul for the love of the world. 1 John 2:15, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Some exchange their soul for error and false philosophies of men, Colossians 2:8. Some trade their souls for material prosperity. I think about the rich farmer in Luke 12:16-21. He was a good businessman. He made a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that per se. The problem was he wasn't taking care of his soul. And so Jesus used him as an example. Beware of covetousness. Some people are taking care of money matters only. They're not taking care of their soul. And when God required his soul, he was not ready to face God. And so when people do this, when people exchange their soul for these things, it is foolish to do so. The world and all that is in it can never satisfy the need of the soul to be right with God and to be at peace with God. And what's unfortunate is so many people are chasing after things that ultimately are going to be burned up one day. They're chasing the things of this world. And Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:10 that the earth and the works therein one day will be burned up. It's just all going to be gone. And so all of that money and material things that people are chasing, number one, you can't take it with you when you die. And number two, it's not even going to last forever. At death, we leave everything behind. I'm reminded of 1 Timothy 6:7, where Paul writes, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What a great reminder. And since that is the case, we need to put a value more on our soul than material things. The pyramids were full of all kinds of riches and jewels and expensive things and physical things in hopes that the Pharaoh would have these in the afterlife. They're simply still in the pyramids, and grave robbers and tomb robbers stole many things. Other things are in museums, but the pharaohs certainly did not take any of that. with them. It's a testimony that you can't take it from this life. You can't remove it from this life. So it's just foolish to be chasing after all of that when the thing that survives after death is your soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 7. It returns to God who gave it. All of the physical things of this life just stay here. And even if they are passed on to children and grandchildren and other things, eventually down the road, they're all going to be burned up one day. Let's put an emphasis on our soul. And then there is a great tragedy if the soul is lost. The loss of health, the loss of a child, the loss of one's family is hard to take. But the loss of a soul is eternal. And that's something to think about. We think about, well, I lost my child, or I lost my house, or I lost my job. Those are difficult things, and we must bear through those things. But when we lose our soul, there is eternal consequence. The damnation of the soul in hell is terrible. And Jesus says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, Paul writes about Jesus coming again, those who know not God and who obey not the gospel, they will suffer eternal punishment from the face of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And so there's no help or hope for such a horrible condition. A soul lost in hell for all eternity. There will be no remedy for that. The remedy is now. We can obey the gospel now. We can purify our souls now. 1 Peter 1:18 through 23, by obeying the truth. Well, with our time left, I want to talk a little bit about how we can recognize the value of our soul in our life. When you go to the store, if you shop online or if you shop in the store, garage sales, whatever the case might be, you learn to recognize value. It might be looking at the price tag. It might be looking at the ingredients or the contents of something, the materials that go into something. You might recognize value based upon a brand name. You might recognize the value based upon picking it up and observing it and holding it and handling it. You might recognize the value by reading reviews online that somebody posted about a particular product. Often, before you buy something, you want to research and recognize the value of something. Well, it's the same with our soul. You can tell if you recognize the value of your soul or not by a few things. And let me mention those things. First of all, you can recognize the value of your soul based upon what you believe about it. Do you adhere to atheism and humanism and skepticism and evolution, that you're just a created animal? Or do you believe the truth of the matter, that you were designed by God and given a body and a soul? That's what you are made up of. And that part of your soul in you is immortal, and it lives on, and it will return to God. Paul calls it the inward man in 2 Corinthians 5. What you believe about yourself determines the value of your soul, and that shows if you recognize the value of your soul or not. Our belief in an immortal soul shows that we understand the value of it. Here's another way that you can recognize if you value your soul. It's seen in the way that you discipline yourself or not. We're going to be saved or lost based upon how we live. We're either traveling the broad way that leads to destruction or the narrow way that leads to eternal life, Matthew 7:13 and 14. Well, how you go throughout life, whether or not you're going to discipline yourself to live according to God's word. God requires us to live a disciplined life, to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, Titus 2, verse 12. And if we are willing to do that, to discipline our thoughts and appetites and desires and emotions, we know that we are valuing our soul. We recognize that we are valuing our soul because we want to live that narrow way that leads to eternal life. Here's another way that you can recognize the value of your soul. It's seen in your approach to the gospel. Do you want to purify your soul in belief of the truth? Do you read your Bible? Do you obey the New Testament? Do you obey the gospel? It's God's power of salvation, Romans 1:16. How often do you read the gospel and obey it? How often do you pray? Another way you can recognize the value of your soul is, how often do you pray? Prayer is your soul talking to God. Are you praying for a quiet and peaceable life? Are you praying to come closer to God? Are you praying for forgiveness? Are you praying for all kinds of things that are related directly to your soul? So your Bible reading and your prayer reflects whether or not you value the soul. Another way that you can recognize the value of the soul is the sermons that are preached. I preach sermons that help the soul. I don't preach sermons at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ that help us with making money or how to get our homework done or how to do a job interview or how to build something. There's plenty of YouTube videos and TikTok videos for those kinds of things. Sermons and the preaching of the gospel show the value of the soul because they preach on things that are related to the soul and not the outward physical things. And it's also seen in the mission of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We have a mission of spreading the gospel to save souls. Our mission at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ is not on physical and social and recreational things. That's the work of the home and the individual. We're in the business of saving souls. And so, friends, let's understand what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and Matthew 16, that the soul is the most important thing we have. Our lives are made up of values. My question is, how much value do you place on the soul? If I can help you to do that, and even more importantly, to save your soul, let's get together, study the Word of God, and obey it. Thank you for being with me on the program this morning, and I hope that you'll have a good day.